plate a potential nugget.
And in the book, you make the distinction between what you call disruptors and life quakes. Could you tell us a little bit about what these are and how they might affect our lives differently? And maybe just to pick one of the parallels you draw, you talk about 52 different disruptors that you'd sort of discovered in your research, and you equate that to a deck of cards. So just say more about these two and how you see the deck of cards play out in our lives.
So let's go back in the story a little bit, and let me just remind you that I didn't go in looking for disruptors or life quakes or life transitions or any of this mm-hmm. stuff. I went in mm-hmm. with the basic idea of, let me ask people to tell me the story of their lives, and let me listen very closely, and let me try to hear what they're saying and find patterns and takeaways that can help all of us. And the big idea that emerged here is that the linear life is dead. It's been replaced by what I am now calling, and in fact coining, the nonlinear life. And that involves many more of these kinds of life disruptions. And so I made a master list of all the disruptive events that people described to me. And I cross-referenced that with sort of very careful analysis of public data on relationship challenges and health challenges and business challenges and every kind of possible problem that is disruptive. And I ended up with a list of 52 items. And yes, I called these disruptors. And the parallel to a deck of cards was unavoidable. And they're kind of, so I sort of nicknamed them the deck of disruptors. But there are five suits, not four. And so they kind of are divided. I'm actually going to open the book, which I have here in front of me. And I'm going to talk about sort of, so you can actually hear me rustling the pages, right? This is real live podcasting. Maybe you can actually hear me putting my glasses on. So the five categories are love. So relationships, that's the biggest number of disruptors. And that could be an illness of a child, the death of a partner, the divorce of your parents, getting married. And by the way, this will come up a little bit later, but some of these disruptors are positive events, right? Mm. Like getting married is a positive event, but it's still disruptive in every way. So the second most popular in terms of the number was identity. So that could be a change in your living situation. That could be change in sexual practices, being homeless, or change in gender identity. Then beliefs. So that's changing your political views or your religious views, or maybe you become more observant or less observant, or maybe you go on a kind of sabbatical or a pilgrimage of some kind. Then work actually was kind of small on the list. So that's a change in work responsibility, changing jobs, changing careers, sexual harassment. Maybe you got public recognition. Maybe you retired. And then the last would be body. So that would be a chronic illness, a mental illness. So the thing about these disruptors is that they come much faster than people really are acknowledging. So that my data show that we go through one disruptor every 12 to 18 months. That's three dozen in the course of our adult lives. But here's the thing. Most of them, we navigate pretty well. We're actually pretty good at this pace of change. And so we get through it. But one in 10 of these becomes a much bigger change. And that leads to what I call a life quake. And so a life quake is kind of a massive, kind of sudden burst of change. It's either because one of these events is very big or more common. And this is an idea that I'm prepared to say I just never read in the literature of human development. And that is that these disruptors tend to clump, right? Just when you're thinking about leaving your job, you know, your wife gets cancer, right? Or just when you wreck the car, your daughter has an anxiety disorder and your mother-in-law needs surgery. So for whatever reason, they clump. I actually think the reason is sometimes coincidence, but more often it's like one disruptor kind of weakens our immune system. Mm-hmm. So when we're weakened, something that would otherwise be a small disruptor kind of tips over to become a life quake, just because we're tired or we're exhausted or we're just sort of in the mood to change or sort of, you know, whatever, let's throw caution to the wind. And now's the time to really, okay, everything's already destabilized. My partner has got an illness and my child has a problem. And you know what? I might as well change jobs. It's just something about the confluence of them leads us to kind of push in some ways and embrace change. And here's the, I would say, signature piece of data from this entire experience. And that is the average length of a life transition that comes out of one of these life quakes is 5 years.
Wow.
So if you think 3 to 5 in a lifetime, it takes us 4, 5, 6 years to get through it. That means 25 years, that's half of our adult lives we are spending in transition. It's like transitions are a lifetime sport that no one is teaching us how to play. And so that's why this book is called Life is in the Transitions, to realize if you're just kind of grit or grovel or kind of grind your way through these, you're missing half of your life because they're difficult, and we can get into the steps of how you navigate them. But these are potential opportunities for growth and renewal. And if you don't look at them that way, you are missing essentially nature's way of telling you now is the time to rethink and reimagine your life.
What was telling for me here was that work was a distant fourth in the pecking order of disruptors, and it came after relationships, identity, and beliefs. But somehow in our adult life, our mental model is often around treating the work events as key points of transition, but missing out on all the other disruptors that might change a life context. In my journey, in the spirit of sharing, if I look at events that have profoundly changed my life, I would sort of recall 3 events. The first life quake, a positive one, was when I was about 12. My father was a public sector banker with a bank called Indian Bank, and he had a transferable job. I'd spent my early years in small towns in Tamil Nadu, in places like Velur, Kadalur, Salem, and so on. And then we spent 4 years in Gwalior in Madhya Pradesh, my grade 4 to grade 7. At that point, my parents realized that me and my sister weren't really getting the right kind of education, and they decided to move to Chennai, to a metro. Even there, I distinctly remember they had a choice between a low-cost school, which was average, and a slightly expensive school, but one with a much higher reputation. This was a school called Padmasay Shadri, also called PSBB, the one I eventually joined. I think that move really changed a lot of things for me. From then on, I would really say peer momentum took over, and that took me from school to IIT Madras, from IIT Madras to IIM Ahmedabad, and from there to KPMG Consulting, London Business School, and then McKinsey in the US. I would attribute this phase of life to that positive life quake that changed a lot of things for me. The second life quake, I would say, was when my father was diagnosed with late stage cancer back in India around 2008. My wife and I decided to move back to take care of his treatment. We subsequently decided to stay back in India. And this phase of life also pushed me to an inner journey of sorts, possibly the first time I was embarking on that journey, and got me to join Egon Zehnder, as I felt I had a passion for the people side of things. At that time, it felt traumatic. But when I look at that event from a distance now, perversely enough, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. The next life quake, I would say, was when my son was born in November 2013. I'm sure he'll hate me whenever he picks up the audio when he grows up. But his coming to our life really changed the work-home equation for me. I tell people jokingly, he's like Usain Bolt on Red Bull. After he came into our life, suddenly I felt the work-home situation break down, and I was trying to reassemble the jigsaw once again. And I got to a point where I felt that I would find it difficult to make it happen in a corporate context, because somebody else was setting the pace of the treadmill. I was looking for an opportunity to slow down, reorganize some of these domains, and then pick up speed. In a lot of ways, I tell people he was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back in the context of my transition from Egon Zehnder to doing what I do now. There are a few other reasons as well, but this possibly was the strongest trigger. I guess all I'm saying is, let us be mindful of the events on the personal front as we look at making choices as we go through life. I find that a lot of people go through a bit of a frog in a boiling water type situation as they make professional choices in a certain context. But then a series of things happen to them on the side, on the personal front. Kids, aging of parents, health issues, and so on and so forth. But they keep marching on till they hit a funny breakpoint where something's got to give. Thank you for listening. If this topic is of interest, you might like the playlist we have on transitions. You can go to playtopotential.com and look at the section Curated Playlists to find these.